Okay, I'm going to start the tape here. I want to teach tonight on what is biblical righteousness. What is biblical righteousness? Actually, what is righteousness? Well, we hear how we are the righteousness of Christ, and we hear a lot of things said. Truthfully, without the Word of God, there is no righteousness other than what a society deems to be acceptable behavior. Every day in our lives, we make choices. And of course, as you and I understand now, that every choice we make has an outcome. I weigh what I weigh today because I have chosen what I ate in the past. I look like I look. I have the amount of money I either do or do not owe in the bank because of choices I've made. And that can be very discouraging. Sometimes we're in places we wish we weren't. And I have said many times, you know, I don't have an opinion on things. My opinion, I try to have a biblical mind, so my opinion is what I believe the Word teaches. But the good news is, if you don't like where you are, once you understand you take responsibility for where you are, you blame no one else, it's due to your choices. And the truth of the matter is, you recognize then that if you understand that everything you've said, everything you've chosen has placed you where you are, then it's real easy to change your future. You just start changing your choices, which means you really do have dominion. Now, here's the problem that we all face. We know to do right, but many times I lack the power thereof. And one of the things that we are getting ready to enter into is August the 16th begins the last month on God's calendar, not the Roman calendar, but the month of Elul. The month of Elul, of course, one of the 12 star signs that aligns with that 12th month is Virgo. And what we see is we see that we're to become as a chaste virgin. It is the time of a 40-day period from Elul 1st until Tishri 10th. That 40 days, Jesus fasted for 40 days, Moses was on the mountain 40 days, and this is not a new revelation. This is what the Bible has always taught. This is what God's people have always done. He gives us 40 days to prepare for the sounding of the shofar, the last trump, or the day of the awakening blast, and some year, of course, probably be the day that the Lord comes. So what we're looking at as we study tonight, this righteousness that God has given us, we are finding out that even though we are about to embark on what is true biblical righteousness, we can grasp it with our minds, but there's something about the bodies that we live in, that our bodies, Paul, the Word of God calls it a body of death. And I've used this terminology, and we are really strangely and wonderfully made. The Bible doesn't say strangely, it just says wonderfully. But after man fell, you can almost, might be a slight exaggeration, you can take a child that's in his high chair and say, do not put that piece of corn up your nose, and leave the room, and because you said not to, he'll be trying to figure out how to get that piece of corn up his nose. There's something very rebellious about us. And those of us that make it through life without visiting jail cells and having a lot of problems, we learn how to be obedient to the laws. But that doesn't mean we're always obedient to the laws of God. And the purpose of Christ's coming was that his word, which is righteousness, we can all grasp it in our minds and we can claim Christianity. But the truth of the matter is, it's the power, it's the baptism of the Spirit. He says, go and tarry ye at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Let me just tell you what, I admire people that daily fight trying to stop addiction. God just delivered me. If he delivered you, just raise your hand. I mean, just supernaturally. And then I couldn't even believe that there was something better than that. That was just my repentance experience. And then when he filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost 33 years ago, to think that I've been all these years being able to live above what at one time I could not say no to. So every choice has an outcome. And in the right choices, it is that we receive the blessed of the future that God has promised us. I want to make this statement. It doesn't mean you have to be in agreement with me. This is my opinion, and we all know that I have opinions that you may not have, and that mine aren't always the correct ones. But my opinion is based upon my knowledge of the Word of God, and what I'm about to say, I want you to chew on it and see what you come up with. In the world, we have friends, and some of the friends are closer than other friends, and usually the reason some friends are closer than other friends is because they have done more for us and we have become more acquainted with them. And therefore, some friends, we'll loan more money than we will other friends. And some friends, we'll just say, I don't even want it back. Let me help you. Now that may
very poor way to express what I'm about to share with you in a spiritual concept. But I'm here to tell you that's the way God is. He's no respecter of persons. Everyone that attains this level of righteousness will attain this level of his giftings. That's how he's not a respecter of persons. But if your righteousness is here, and another person's righteousness is here, he doesn't pay this person the same amount that he pays the person that is way ahead of them in righteousness, because he's no respecter of persons. I hope we understand that. And those of you that are listening by podcast, I know you didn't see the physical example here. Let me get back to this. The word righteousness, the reason I want to dwell on this evening for many reasons is, number one, it's one of the words that's used very, very many times in Scripture. It's used over 550 times in one way or another. And in the Old Testament, the word for righteousness in the Hebrews is tzaddik. So if you're a tzaddik, you're a righteous man. If you're a rashim, you're a wicked man. So tzaddik. But the meaning, and this is what I want us to grasp, because when we find out who has a wicked heart and who has a heart that can receive righteousness, once you understand what righteousness is, it will help you identify people that are wicked. And when I say wicked, it doesn't mean they burn babies. It doesn't mean that they plunder and pillage. God doesn't see wickedness just exactly like that, even though that is wicked. Wicked is anyone that will not accept righteousness. So what is righteousness? And I need to express this right now, in my opinion. One of the biggest fallacies in American thinking is we have come to a place to where if we believe it, then it's fact and it's real. And you can believe a lie and be, the Scripture says, you can believe a lie and be. We are such a hilarious society. I find this so amazing. Can you imagine going back whenever I was 45 years ago and I was getting ready to drive a car? And I was, if I had the money back then, if I'd have had $1,800 to go buy a brand new car. Can you imagine the advertisement on the black and white TV on one of the two channels we got that went off at midnight? Can you imagine the advertisement come on and tell us nothing about the size of the engine, nothing about who made it, nothing about how the car and the warranty, nothing about it, but rather it was just had something to do with pretty women sitting in it and racing around, whatever. We've come to a place to where we don't even want to know the facts. We just want something that appeals to the animal instinct within us, that makes us believe this will make us feel like that, look like that, and be like that. We can affiliate and associate with that. But the commercials don't even teach us anything about the facts of the products we're purchasing anymore. Rather, they have learned to go into the psychology of man, and this is absolutely the way the power of darkness works. So when we want to look at righteousness, and we all are and all do that are in this building this evening, in the New Testament, the word obviously changes to Greek. The word for righteousness is dikaios, or dikaios, and it means to observe divine laws. So let's grasp right now, so before we go any further tonight, I know we all want to be righteous, everyone listening to this, or you wouldn't, because without righteousness you can't stand in the court of the godly. You can't stand in the last days before the Lord. So the truth of the matter is, if you want to know what, it's just like I'm blessed. Well, the word blessed means happy. So don't say you're blessed if you've got a big frown on your face. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. That's what blessed means in Hebrew. So when we look either in Hebrew or Greek, in the original understanding of a word that's used over 550 times, which means it must be an important concept to God. He's the one that put the word in there over 550 times. Then what it means is to observe divine laws. I am righteous because I am righteous and just and lawful because I observe divine laws. Now that's an interesting concept. So the entire Bible points to this one definition of a righteous person. So to be a righteous person, to obey divine laws, then that aligns us for the next situation. We're living in an hour where you can go to church and never have to open a Bible. And this is not a let's kick Christians. That's not my goal. My goal is to help us this evening. We're living in an hour where, number one, to be righteous, first you'd have to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, how can you obey the divine ordinances of God? Number two, once you knew the Word of God, to be righteous, then you keep the Word of God. Number three, when you can't keep the Word of God, then you at least identify that you missed the obedience to that principle of God's Word, and you repent, and you acknowledge your mistake, and you confess your mistake, and you correct your errors. And just for anyone that's never heard me say this before, I think the biggest and the strongest understanding of true repentance is after you do the things I before mentioned, is the next time the opportunity avails itself, you refrain from doing it again. That's true repentance. That's true repentance. So, once again, what we're looking at this evening is we're looking at righteousness. And we have identified the fact that it is through righteousness which is actually obeying divine instructions. Now, I want to say this also in this podcast. A lot of times, because we have not the Word of God in our hand, even those of you that are looking at me right now, this will alarm some people. Your Bible is not the Word of God. It is an interpretation of the Word of God. So unless you are looking at the original manuscript, it changes so much, and many times I don't like the way we've interpreted it, nor do many others that read the original. For instance, when we talk about the law of God, immediately, because I probably have some rebellion in me as well, it makes me kind of swell up. You know, God's commandments say, God's laws say. But it never says that. Because in the Hebrew, it's called the instructions of God. There's a big difference between directions and instructions versus commandments and law. So the 10 instructions, that changes a lot of things from the 10 commandments. And so why I'm telling you this is because when we understand the purpose of God writing this manual, and this is not trying to heap upon you to itch your ears. If you have children, how many in this room have children, brother? Raise your hand. All right. If you have a child, I know you all woke up this morning and said, I hope my child suffers. I don't want it to prosper. I don't want them to do well in life. No, none of us did that. God, our Father, is no different. But I'll promise you, none of us in this room said, well, I hope this morning that my child learns how to steal, learns how to lie, learns how to really get ahead. I doubt you did that as well. And whenever you can grasp the fact that God's Word are not commandments and laws, that's never what the Bible says. It's the instructions and directions. The 613 instructions and directions which we have interpolated from the Hebrew into English to mean commandment. Big difference, isn't there? So let me go back and then we're going to get into the Word. I'm wanting to express to you this evening that the way I have found my interpretation of 33 years of living for God is the closer I draw to Him as a friend, the more He can rely on me because He can trust me as He did Abraham to do His will. His will is His Word. The greater the blessings are He bestows in my life. Because the more He can trust me, the more He can trust me with. And the more that I walk with Him, and the greater your righteousness becomes. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 6. Happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Like we could chew on that for a while. But his delight. So, let's just do this. Happy is the man whose delight is in the instruction of the Lord, and in his instruction does he meditate day and night. You cannot be righteous as you could be, until first you understand the instruction. Now, as men, when we buy an appliance or we buy something or a car, before we ever drive it, we get the instruction manual out and we read it from cover to cover. My wife does. By the book. Me, when I finish putting something together, I always express to her,
She says, "What's that?" I said, "Well, those are just extra parts."
But when it comes to the Word of God, we need to understand we're cheating ourselves by not spending time in it. This isn't to beat you over the head. This is to say to us, do you realize if you want to change your future and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that God is not the giant slot machine, put it all on red one day, maybe your number will come in. He's not the giant roulette wheel. God is just, and He just wants you to understand His instruction. And if you'll walk in His instruction, just like your kids will walk in your instruction, because you're a little older than them, He's a lot older than us, He wrote this Word to bless you. But He cannot bless wrong behavior. He cannot bless wrong motive. And He cannot bless unfaith. Unfaithfulness, lack of faith, doubt. These are the rules of the game of chess between light and dark. So His delight is in the law of the Lord. Who? The happy man. What are you so happy about? No, I'm not happy. I'm high. How come? Because I got caught up to sit with Him in heavenly places. How'd that happen? I turned off the stinking TV. You can't even believe the news. You can't believe anything you see on TV. And I got in the Word of my Father. And what did your Father's Word do for you? Well, it identified what I need to do to get out of my situation. But it also identified promises it makes to me. And let me get on. So, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. Let me express this to everyone in this room. And you're not going to like this. Some of you may. The Bible guarantees there's no quick way to riches. So all of you that want me to come over and get in on the latest pyramid screen. Scheme. I've done there, been there, done that. Ain't no such thing, baby. The Bible says there is no quick way to riches. Why? Because I couldn't handle it. Something about having a bunch of money all of a sudden, nobody can handle it. They all fail. Just pull out the book on all the people that have won the lotto and they're more miserable than they were before they won it. And some of you tell you they wish they'd never won it. I'd like a chance. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth his fruit in season. God has a season for our lives. When I'm young in the Lord and talk baby talk and think like a baby, I cannot receive a steak. God made you in His image. He gave you children and the power to procreate so you'd have greater insight into Him. When you get married, do you know why He let you get married? Because He let a man and a woman come together. And it's the most natural thing on earth. Not. It's like taking a dog and a cat and put them in a gunny sack, tying the lid shut, and say, y'all just get along in there. It ain't going to happen. So He gave you marriage because you are understanding you're two totally different. We're the same species biologically, but we are from Venus and Mars, and we're totally different. Does anybody know what I'm talking about out there? Once the honeymoon's over, you with me? We find out, why did God do that? Every marriage is like that. Why did God do that? Because He's wanting you to understand He's a lot different than you are. And He's wanting you to understand from your bride the daily blessings that she places on you. And all the things you have to provide. I mean, my wife knows I am a plumber, an electrician, a yard man, a plant man, a roofer, and anyway. And that's what we do to God. You know, every day God makes sure everybody has air to breathe. Let me go on. The Bible, and the point I want to make is, if you really want to change your life, you've got to learn to delight in the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much you go to church, and it's awesome that you can have a great choir. It'd even be better if you could have a good-looking pastor. But the truth of the matter is, it won't change your tomorrow until it changes your choices. And you probably won't change your choices until you find the pearl of great price. Because most of us are all just alike. Until we see the value of what we're chasing, we won't chase it. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly won't stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The reason God knows the way of the righteous is He is the one that designed righteousness through His Word. Now, real quickly, we've got a lot to cover, and then I'm going to get into the benefits of righteousness. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, God's speaking through Moses. Moses is about to die. On Mount Nebo there in Jordan as he looks across the river into the promised land. So he's speaking his last words as the Lord inspires him. He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God, have destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. I like that. Even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this instruction and direction which I set before you this day?" Moses just said, you've been given more wisdom, you've been given the key to the city, you've been given the instruction that one will put a thousand to flight, you've been given the instruction where everything you shall do will prosper, you've been given the instruction where no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and if your life sucks right now, then it's real simple. Quit blaming life and start looking in the mirror of the Word of God and understanding the blessedness that all I need is a mind change, and I'm not going to get it watching Oprah or Dr. Phil. I'm going to get it opening it up and learning the Word of God, hungering for the Word of God, and as I begin to do more than learn it but apply it, my future will change and I'll become the head and not the tail. But if you think charismatically that someone can give you the double portion or blow that into your life, that is why Christ said, as He gave the parables of the virgin in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 11, when He said, "And at midnight hour, the wise came with oil in their lamps, and the unwise had no oil. And the unwise said to the ones that had oil, 'Sell us your oil.' And they said, 'Not so, for it's not ours to give.'" You can't give people spiritual blessing that's permanent. You cannot impart to them things that they have not earned. I know it looks good on TV. I know it looks great when someone blows on you or someone falls on the floor. But most of the time when they get up, if you'll follow their life, nothing changed other than they fell on the floor. You cannot impart what someone has not made room for in their life. Now, if they've made room for that in their life, God does not honor what is unhonorable. And I'll say it like this. It has nothing to do with His love. He loves you right now if you're a sinner. He loves you right now if you're going the wrong way. He loves the prostitute tonight as much as He loves His preacher, or His pastor. The only difference between the person that is walking in righteousness and the person that's not walking in righteousness is all of the benefits and the promises are only to those that are walking in the Word of God. The benefits and the blessings are all 100% conditional. God's love's not. Let's try it like this. You've got two sons. That's what the story of the Bible is, Cain and Abel. You've got two sons, Esau and Jacob. What's the story of the Bible? The story of the Bible is you've got one son that's rebellious. You've got one son that's not. You got $50. This son's going to go snort coke. This one's going to go down and buy another book so he can pass his college exam course. Who are you going to give the 50 to? You love this one just as much as you love that one. But no one in their right mind is going to back unrighteousness. So don't blame God. Blame yourself. It's time to suck it up and get responsible and say, you know, there's no shortcut. And that's the problem in the American church today. Everybody's looking for a shortcut. It's called Calvary. That picture I showed you. Oh, I've started preaching, haven't I? That picture I showed you of Golgotha. It was a padded cross and they air conditioned it that day. And actually the nails were little feather pillows. No. He said, follow me. Take up your cross. And let me just express this to you. Once you understand they're not commandments and laws, they're blessings. They're blessings. Why? They make you bulletproof. They build a life that, I'm not going to tell you won't have problems. You won't have a boatload of problems. Hell itself's going to fight you.
So what?
It cannot prevail because you're a blessed man and you're walking according to the Word of God.
I'm high already. I want to show you the first time that God uses the word righteousness out of 550. And as you know, the rule of first mention is a very interesting rule, and I won't go back into it. Those of you that have been with me, you know what that rule is. So here's the first place he uses, Genesis 7 and 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Okay, now, let's slow down just a moment. Why, Shlomo, did God call Noah into the ark? For I have seen you righteous before me. What is righteousness? Oh yeah, righteousness is one, Dolores, that keeps divine ordinances. I'm going to just throw this out to you. Could Noah have become unrighteous while he was building the ark? Good question. Would Noah have been saved if he hadn't built the ark? Good question. But I want to look at a moment here why God said, the first place out of over 550 times he uses the word righteousness, I want to look and see what the reason is that he would deem Noah righteous, because we have a problem. What's the problem? Well, I'm glad you asked. There was no Bible then. We didn't have a Bible till Moses goes on top of Mount Nebo. We're not going to have a Bible. Let's see, the flood happens about 1664, Steve? I can't remember. When was it? Yeah, it's right in that area. Around 1600. Well, we don't have a law for another 900 years. We don't have a Bible. We've got the 12 star signs that Job gave us. We've got God who walked in the cool of the evening with Adam. We've got handed down by word of mouth. There were only 10 men that ever lived to be of old age. It wasn't everyone in the Old Testament that lived to be hundreds. No, they didn't live to be hundreds of years old. They were the walking repositories of God's word. They were the Zadokim, the righteous ones. They lived to hand down from mouth to mouth. Moses, through five mouths, was able to get the story of creation as God had given it to Adam. Written by Polycarp, who was a student of John the Revelator on the island of Patmos, Polycarp was able to write down what he had been given all the way back to Adam, whenever he stated there would only be 6,000 years of man, and then Jesus, the Messiah, would come and set up a kingdom and last a millennium, 1,000 years. So we go back all the way to what was taught in the garden because of 10 righteous men we know. These 10 righteous men took it to the ark. Shem gets off the ark. He becomes Melchizedek in Jerusalem. He blesses Abraham. It's passed down to Abraham, then through his seed, as we trace the bloodline of the Messiah. And today, whenever we want to know what's going on, what do we have to do? We have to go back to exactly what's been spoken by God, written down by the ancients all the way. And why did God call him righteous? There was no written word. That's where I started. But let's look what God records the verse before this. So why did he see Noah as righteous? Well, when I read the verse that immediately precedes this verse, the answer is found. God says, thus did Noah according to all that God instructed him. So God says, you're righteous. Well, I thought I was righteous because I didn't smoke or drink or cuss or look at dirty pictures. Well, that may be a part of it, but you cannot do any of that. And you may be a Muslim. You cannot do any of that. You may be a Buddhist. That's not going to make you righteous. What makes you righteous is to do what God says to do. That's what makes you righteous. The American church has really twisted things to where we place more emphasis on what we do and don't do than the Word of God. It is me, obedience to the Word of God, that deems me righteous. I'm proving this to you in the Word. Why did he say, you're righteous before me? He just told you. We don't know what all God did tell him, but whoever it was, he did it. We'll now look at the second time God uses the word righteousness. And it's interesting, there's a time span of approximately 360 years that separate the use of these two words. We're jumping now from Noah on the ark, one of three arks in Scripture. Ark for the flood, ark of bulrushes for the salvation of Moses in the Nile, ark of the covenant for the salvation of men.
all arcs of salvation, all arcs of deliverance.
Genesis 18, verse 23 through 33. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses. You'll be very familiar with this. This is where a minion comes from. Those of you that don't know what a minion is, if we walk in Judaism, a minion means 10 men. So in order for us to have a minion, a place of prayer, a place of teaching, we need 10 men, 10 Zedekim, 10 righteous men. And this comes from the Word of God because, let me go back and make a point. The second place we are about to see the word righteousness used, I want to express something to you. In the 33 years that I've had the blessing of walking with Him, He has spoken to me probably 7-8 times. And He has impressed me a lot more than that. And there are times that because I'm His friend, He lets me know things. What do you tell me this for, Pastor? I'm not trying to say He hasn't done that or more with you. But, you know, it's really rare. You're going to... Let's see if I can help us. Let's see, Jeff. Let's see if I can. I think I'm going to go over and knock on that guy's door and share with him some of my intimate secrets. I've never met him before. That's preposterous. You share your secrets with your closest alliances. God's no different. The biggest lie of the enemy, God's your friend. If I don't get anything else through to you here tonight, let's see if we can grasp this, because I'm trying to bring us out of blindness. I'm trying to bring us out of darkness. I wouldn't be living this life for 33 years happily. Had problems out the wazoo, whatever that is, if it's dirty, forgive me, I don't know. Had problems out the wazoo, but held on to Him, He seen me. Was that dirty, Jim? Okay. To the righteous, all things are righteous. It's not going to take away your problems living for God. But it's going to let you have peace in the lion's den because they're going to sleep. It's going to let you have a fourth man show up in the fire because you're not going to burn. You see, what God does is He pulls you through. He's not a respecter of persons. And He changes you for the environment. And as you learn that, you quit trying to take God in your little Christian prayer life and getting Him by the arm and saying, "Now, God, I want to twist your arm. If you really love me, here's what I need you to do." No! You're a soldier! They were quit being called sheep after Calvary. They were called soldiers of the cross from that moment forward. We're on the power side of the cross. Suck it up, serve Him, and know He's here to deliver you. Are you with me out there? Might as well tell it like it is. We're in a warfare. And there is no detente with the enemy. And when you understand that whether you want to serve God or you don't want to serve God, the enemy's still going to try to destroy you. The good news is, if you serve God, He can. The bad news is, if you don't serve God, you've already lost. And God, our Father, loves you so much. You don't know anyone else that hung on Calvary's tree on that spot I just showed you for your sin. You don't know anyone else that went to all the trouble to write a manuscript that can't be proven wrong except the Creator. And you want to question it, not spend time. I'm not talking to anyone in this building tonight. I'm not talking to anyone on the podcast. I'm talking to everybody that's not listening. And you don't want to spend time reading it. You don't want to spend time getting to know it. You don't want to spend time. You want to turn on television and watch something important. We are misaligned because we are misinformed. And we do not understand the power that's in this thing. Men have been crucified. Pastors have been slain. People have been given their lives and all types of torturous things because they have grasped the power that's in this word. This word will change nations, but first it changes lives. And it will create in a man or a woman a strength that will cause them to stand in the face of the storm and change a nation. But somebody's got to decide, I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to believe what it says. I'm going to bring this flesh under subjection. I'm going to crucify myself. Take up my cross. Follow Him. And the only way I can follow Him is to walk in His Word. So Abraham drew near in Genesis 18:23 before I got onto that rant. And here's the second time the word righteousness is used in You see, God looks up his friends before he does things. If I told you how many phone calls I've had, how many emails I've had, I don't know.
Pastor, is this September the... I doubt it.
But if you're ready, it doesn't matter.
I've been doing this a long time.
It's just another roadside and mile marker. Watch the temple. Listen to people that aren't selling books and getting rich off what they're feeding you. Listen to people. And so he looks up Abraham, God does, because Abraham's his friend. What does righteousness do? Righteousness connects me with my God. Righteousness means I've come to the place to where I understand. His word is how I know him. And how can two walk together except they agree? And this is really going to sound bad, and Lord, I'm speaking for you here. He's not so interested in what you think. He's interested in what you'll obey. Your opinion's awesome, I'm sure.
But you're talking to God. So he comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I got a problem. You got a buddy living over there with all the sodomites? Well, it's cleansing time. Abraham says, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God says, Abraham says, out of that huge city of Sodom, well, there's got to be at least 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? And he said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, pre-adventure. What if there's just 20 found? And, you know, he and God have this discourse. And finally God says, you know, I won't destroy it for 50 righteous. I won't destroy it for 40 righteous. I won't destroy it for 30 righteous. I won't destroy it for 20 righteous. And so Lot's, and so Abraham's like, let's see how many's in Lot's family. I wonder if I can get this down to just 10. It's got to be 10 righteous people. And so he says, behold, now I've taken upon to speak to the Lord. And verse 32 says, oh, not let the Lord be angry. I'll speak yet one more time. What if there are just 10 righteous men in that city? And God says, well, I won't destroy it for 10 righteous men's sake. And the Lord went his way, and as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham turned to his place, Abraham turned around and saw the smoke
from the destruction of Sodom.
I don't know where you are in your walk. I know some of you listening to this have already turned it off. I'm going to give you a very experienced, mature realization of God. You're not going to like it because you're rebellious. God created the heaven and the earth. God made everything here and put man in this place and made it a Garden of Eden. And God set forth laws that would keep his creation chaste and it would go on forever. And then greed and lust, pride, envy entered into the picture. And we totally screwed it up and it's all about us for us. And the hidden man of the heart and the wickedness of the heart's well hidden. And when you've got a whole city full of people that no longer care what the Word says, and you've got a whole city full of people that no longer want to hear what the Word says, and you've got a whole city full of people that are never going to even let their children know what the Word says, God says, there's nothing in there I can even use. Let me take that out and we'll judge it later. Because I'm going to set up a kingdom without end, and the only way it won't end is to have righteous people. And if you won't obey now, He doesn't want you there because you won't obey later. Like that, would you? Obey or die. That's God. Now we live in a time of mercy and grace, but the last time I checked, He's coming back on a warring horse with a sword. And every knee shall bow. And every time He's done. He's given us a time. You see, this planet already has a destiny with a fiery meltdown. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. You've already been condemned. I already flushed the toilet. You're on your way down right now. I'm throwing you a life jacket. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. You can choose and make this choice and have a bright future. I came to believe that you'll make the right choice. I'm willing that none shall perish. But I can't help it if you won't choose right. You won't choose it now. You sure won't choose it then. When I go to heaven, I don't want to do funerals.
When I go to heaven, I don't want to make hospital visits. When I go to heaven, I don't want to have to lock my door. When I go to heaven, I don't want to have to worry about my children being raped, my wife being robbed. I don't want anyone that won't obey righteousness to be there. I'm just like God. I love what God loves and hate what God hates. And that's exactly what you've got to become. When you pray, He says you have not because you ask not. So you need to learn to pray until you change your heart and say, God, help me love what you love and hate what you hate. And you'll be amazed. Now that'll cause you to change the TV channel at times. How are you going to feed your mind garbage and then claim to be righteous? How are you going to feed? And see, I'm keeping it clean. I'm not cussing or anything. How are you going to feed your mind that stuff? Look at that stuff. Do that stuff. And declare righteousness when your mind is warring against the Word of God. I then went to preaching. Apparently the Scripture recorded in the book of Romans is just as true as it was in Lot's day, because you may not like what Pastor Joe is saying tonight, but here's what the Word says, Romans 3. As it's written, there's none righteous. Not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Why don't we understand? Because we are living in an hour when there is a famine as God prophesied for the Word. You can go to church and not hear the Word. Let's bring the world into the church. Build the building, get the big offering, keep it all hyped up, keep everybody busy. Animals for Jesus, hay rides for Jesus, horses for Jesus, motorcycles for Jesus. What about Word for Jesus? What about righteousness for God? What about come out from among them and be yourself? I'm a dinosaur. I don't even fit in this world anymore. Because I am a Word freak. If it says it, I believe it. I'm going to study two or three ways, find two or three witnesses, make sure I understand it. When I teach something wrong, pray you'll love me enough to come say, Pastor Joe, you said this, it doesn't mean that. And I'll stand here and say, I don't have all the answers. I was wrong. But love me enough, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I'm loving you enough to spank us into attention tonight, because someday you'll thank God for this. There's none that even understands His Word. There's none that seeks after God. They've all gone out of the way. They together have become unprofitable. There's none that does good. No, not one. I want you to just... Now, we are reading what is 2,000 years old. There is no new thing under the sun. So therefore, when God destroys Sodom... Why did He destroy Sodom? Because it's a precedent case for when He destroys a city near you. For 10 righteous men, a minion. He couldn't find one righteous man. He pulled Lot out. He became someone that had ancestral relations and becomes the father of the Moabites. And he said a Moabite will never be allowed into the camp of the Lord. So there wasn't any good thing came out of Sodom. Oh, I could preach right there. What an hour we live in. Well, you better not say that. Yeah, you're right. Their throat is an open grave. So think about the hour we live in. I'm reading to you what God says, why there was no righteousness. Because you couldn't hear anything but lies. And people would swallow the lies, but you could not speak His Word. The poison of asps is under their lips. We don't understand what you're programming our minds with. If you've got children, you've turned them over to public schools, you've turned them over to internet, you've turned them over to video games, you've turned them over to TV, you've turned them over. You're not raising your kids. The world is. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Isn't it amazing the most valuable games on the internet are blood, guts, prostitutes, whores, drug addiction, violence? I don't see people playing games that are handing out food to the poor and righteousness. We are a wicked generation. When He came the last time, it was because their mind was continually on wickedness. We have become... Oh, God. Sorry, everybody. So a man left to his own inclination cannot become righteous without the Word of God. Surprise! I'm smiling. Even with the instruction and directions of God's Word, man cannot become totally righteous. Romans 4 and 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the word was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It has to be mixed with faith. I'm going to hurry real quickly. I want to get through this lesson. So Romans 9, 30 through 33. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which follow after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Now, without digressing and diverting into that area, let me just express, without getting into dispensationalism and law and grace and all that kind of stuff, that what we are adding to this righteousness now is what I before mentioned. You can be somebody that tries to keep the Word of God but not believe in the Messiah, and you're no better off. That's all I'm trying to bring. It is our faith in Him, because we have all sinned. And my faith is in the redeeming work that His blood has given, and that He can forgive me. The greatest, let me just say this, everyone listening, and you may not understand it now, but there will come an hour when you will understand it. The greatest trial of your faith will never be your sin. The greatest trying of your faith will be when you sin continually, that you can believe that God will forgive you and take you back. But, and I'm going somewhere with this. Because what I'm trying to express is you will have to fight yourself to forgive you when God has no trouble forgiving you. Therefore, when the Bible says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. And if I could give any advice to those of you that have began this journey, it's to know that no matter how vile or how wicked a thing you would ever do, that if you can believe God and truly repent, that He'll forgive you 7 times 70 in one day. Your problem is you'll have to fight to believe that, because the enemy wants to do one thing. He wants to separate you from the faith in the blood. Now, once we receive, I've got to stay off this, once we receive the blood of Christ, it does not do away with walking in righteousness. We still have to walk in the Word of God, but we have added to it with faith. Okay, well, let me get out of that and let me do say, just let's get into righteousness. James 5 and 16, confessing your faults one to another, yeah, right, and pray one for another, be careful who you tell what, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a lukewarm man availeth much. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. The effectual fervent prayer of someone that has no connection with God availeth much. No, I didn't read it right still. You see, this is a letter from our Father. He's saying, I want to do what you're asking me. The effectual fervent prayer, and when you're doing what's right, then I can answer your prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Pastor Joe, what do you think about this? I have no thought. Here's what the Word says. And that is how we do it here. As for me and my house. And when we blow it, we're going to go back to Scripture. We're going to try to do it right the next time. Don't get me wrong. 1 Timothy 6:10 through 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, I wish we'd hear that more. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's something greater than money. There are promised benefits for the righteous. Psalms 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. Can I express something to you guys right now? Here I am. I never thought I'd be this old, but I am. The people I know that have been walking in this and living the precepts and the concepts of it, our lives are beautiful. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. Peace. Beyond all understanding, joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's not about money. It's not about things. It's not about faith. We have reprogrammed their minds with the water and the washing of the Word to where it is just good. God is good. And we have learned to be content. And godliness with contentment is great gain. And to be content with food
clothing and shelter, raiment. This is what God does as we reprogram ourselves, but it gets better. Now that we understand, and I have way more than drilled it into our head, if you'll give me 3 minutes past closing time here, and I know you will, I want to point out why righteousness pays. How many believe God's a liar? No one. So let's see if we can trust His Word. Now that we totally understand that the benefits of God's Word are all predicated on the righteousness in our lives. So what have I just taught you? Well, the Word of God, my Father, has taught us that if I am praying and I'm not living it, I may not get what I've been praying for. The prayers of a righteous man. And now everyone, beyond a shadow of a doubt, understands what righteousness is. It's he that follows divine ordinances. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Woo, you talk about a she-bear coming out of the woods. I've never lost a fight. And I don't say that arrogantly because I've never fought a fight. I just say, Lord, it's in your hands. You ain't going to get me to fight you. And if you do, it'll be in the flesh and one of us will be dead. You with me? Because we're going to let the Lord fight our battles. Now, that wasn't a challenge, and I know it sounded pretty egotistic, and I pack a gun because of my body weight and size and age. I couldn't fight anybody. But I'm trying to express, if you will let the Lord fight your battle, you'll never lose. It may not win the way you think it's going to end, but the righteous cry and the Lord hear and delivers them out of... Who cries?
The righteous.
But who does the Lord hear?
The righteous.
So, you see, let's look at the manual. You see, if you're not where you want to go, if it's not working the way you want it to work, then God's a liar or you're not doing it right. One of the two is true. You've got to decide. Which is it? Proverbs 11:28. He that trusts in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now, that doesn't mean much to you unless you're someone that has a garden. But you, if you've ever grown a tree, you start with a seed that would be going way back, then a sprout, then a shoot, and then the branch. Everything in the kingdom takes time. It's worth waiting for. Matthew chapter 6, 33. So if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He says, I'm going to add all these things to you. Is this starting to sink in? Wow, I just figured out my problem. I'm a flake. Talking to me. I'm a flake. What do you mean you're a flake? Well, the reason I'm not where I want to be is real simple. Because I'm not doing what the Word says. I'm the problem. God ain't the problem. Here I thought I could pimp God. I went ahead and I heard that TV preacher says, you that are laying there in bed, you've got your orange socks on. I'm like, not God. God just told me to send... Tell you to send $500, and I thought, ooh, for a minute I thought he's talking to me. There are no shortcuts. God, you can't pimp God. All this garbage we hear, all this stuff that has deceived the masses about plant your seed. My God, He'd rather have your seed of faith than your seed of money. Pay your tithe. That's all that's required. Give an offering. Be a single in eye. Be generous. But let me tell you something. If you've got to send money to get God to heal your son, He's one cruel sucker, because what if you don't have it? And who ends up with that money anyway? God? I haven't ever figured out how to get Him the money. Anyway. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live into righteousness. Now, you know, I could preach on every scripture. There's a preacher in here dying to get out. Remember when I went and we looked at James when he said, confessing your faults one to another, prayer of faith, you shall be healed. When you confess your faults, you become righteous again. So in your righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Oh God, pray for me. I'm doing this. I've got this disease. I've got that disease.
Okay, let's get straight. We'll pray, but before we pray, would you repent? That's why would God cross a barrier to do something for someone that's not righteous? How many are enjoying this?
Amen.
You all are a bunch of S&M freaks. I'll tell you right now, you're nuts. The harder and tougher I get, the more you love it. All right.
So you get it. I'm almost done. Psalms 5 and 12. For the Lord will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Psalms 37, 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Proverbs 24 and 16. A just man falls 7 times and rises up. A righteous man doesn't mean you're not going to fall. Let me just say this evening. If this message has caused you to condemn yourself, it wasn't me that's condemning you, and it's certainly not the Word of God. Jesus loves you so much, He sent this Word to heal you. He sent this Word to instruct you. He sent this Word to get you on the path of holiness. He sent this Word to get you on the right path. Because there's no way we can give you wrong instruction and you have a right outcome. But either God is a liar or His Word is true. And the reason we're all in this building on a Wednesday night is because we know His Word is true. And Matthew 25 and 46 says, "And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Look at the benefits of righteousness. The things I've already mentioned. Numbers 23 and 19. God's not a man that He's going to lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. He has said and He shall not do it, or He's spoken it and He won't make it good. In other words, we can trust what He said He'll do for the righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That picture I showed of the original Calvary, I anchored myself in that before I stepped into this pulpit tonight, because it's His righteousness that we convey. It's not any righteousness that we have. And if you miss the mark, or if you're condemning yourself tonight, I've got some good news. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to make a way that you can forgive yourself by asking Him to forgive you, that you can believe Him with the blood covering that He gave us at Calvary. But now that you've done that, He wants you to arise in the newness of life and begin to walk in the oracles of God. I hope something said here tonight will provoke you to righteousness. God bless.